Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. I hope you had a great weekend. Happy Monday. Still out here in Arizona shooting this movie, baby. The Bellman. Having a blast. Thomas Lennon gets in, I believe this week. Kellen Coleman, Richard Kind. It's going to be the tits, as the kids say. Do kids say that? You ever just feel so out of the loop with the lingo? Like, even my 9-year-old nieces will say stuff, and I'm like, is that what we say now? And they're like, we're 9, we don't know, but we do. And I'm like, cool. Do you say lunch is the tits? They're like, what? What are those? I gotta go. Today's episode is a great episode. It's with an up-and-coming rising star in the comedy scene. You know him from Adam Devine's House Party, from his Netflix 15-minute special, and soon to be so much more. It's Jack Knight, ladies and gentlemen, Seattle's own Jack Knight. I met this dude in one of the more insane nights at the Comedy Store, probably in the history of his life, and definitely in the history of that club. We'd actually met quite a bit a few years prior, and he did a guest spot on my shows in Seattle before he was even old enough to be in the club. We talk about that, him meeting Chappelle at the Comedy Store. It, you know, the story is mind-blowing. He tells it to close it out. His journey into comedy, the jobs he had before comedy, crashing on couches. Just another one of those great stories of, like, man, somebody that just wants it bad has put in the work and is continuing to grind it out, because that's what you got to do. Follow Jack on Twitter and Instagram at It's Jack Knight. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. BradWilliamsComedy.com for tour dates. Brad will be in New Jersey at the Stress Factory September 20th through the 23rd. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. I'm out here in Arizona for a couple more weeks doing the movie, but I will be headlining the Brea Improv in Brea, California, Fullerton, California, September 21st through the 23rd. Brea Improv, September 21st through the 23rd. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then September 27th and the 28th, I'll be at Helium in Buffalo. Cannot wait. First time there. Helium Comedy Club, September 27th and 28th at Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo, New York. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for ALN merch, past and present episodes. ShopAdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch, which is new. There's a ton of shit up there. Hoodies, hats, shirts. There's something for everybody. So go over to ShopAdamRay.com for all of your me merch. All right? Of course, follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at ALN Podcast. Comment on the iTunes page. And subscribe on iTunes. And give us a 5-star rating. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with your favorite ALN moments, where you get the pod, how you got into it, all that jazz. And we'll read some of those moments on the pod and give you a chance to win some free merch. Eh? Today's fan email comes from Russell Jackson, who says, huge fan, work 7 days a week, and your podcast really helps me through my day. So pumped to see some... one from home state, killing it, and Brad is cool too. Keep up the amazing work. Nice. Russell must be from Seattle. I think that's what he means. Because he said, and Brad is cool too. So I think the first part of the email was for me. Sorry, Brad. Russell, thanks for emailing us, and thanks for listening. Send us back your address so we can send you some free ALN merch. Eh? You can wear it around your house or work or I don't know. I don't know what you do, man. But whatever you do, thanks for listening to the pod while you're doing it. So many great episodes coming up. And, of course, I'm going to do some special ones here from the set of the Bellman movie in Arizona. John Kite's going to sit down with me. Hopefully Thomas Lennon. If not now, definitely when we get back to L.A. So now we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with a very funny Jack Knight.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
my favorite strip club in Hollywood.
It's Jumbo's Clown Room. It's a burlesque bar, and it's real intimate. It's a cool bar, even without the burlesque. But obviously, like, the burlesque is what makes it, you know, a great place to take your family when they're visiting from out of town. And I joke, but also not really, because I've recommended two different families to go there, and they've both gone in both.
And I've brought people there when they're like, show me something that only the locals go to. Yeah. Not the touristy shit. I'm like, all right.
Clown burlesque.
Not exactly. There's clowns all over the walls.
Yeah. Okay. It'd be great if it was clown burlesque. And that's a fine thing to take from that.
There's rainbow wigs and jugs. Fucking a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Giant shoes.
Yeah. Did you see the props that clown was using? Dude, did you see the tits she was shaking? No, it's
she stretched out her nipple and turned it into a poodle. It was unbelievable.
No, they... I don't know why it's called Jumbo's Clown Room, but again, I've referred so many families that have visited from out of town of comedians, and they've gone and been like Brad said, it was like something specific to LA.
Yeah.
That they, you know, it's different than Universal Studios. You know, same type of like vibe. You got characters.
But it's just like titties and that. Yeah. And that's their.
It'd be
approach,
like if Storm at Universal was just really, you know, shaking
just
her.
Really like letting it be known that she's.
Right.
You know, the weird thing about burlesque shows, though, is.
Seattle's
I don't know what to do after.
Great call.
I don't know what to do after. I never knew what to do after because.
Wait,
I
what do
like,
you mean?
Like it was
as far
club,
as like tipping,
like,
or
you throw some money in the ground.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Not,
oh yeah, yeah.
This is a performance, but like for burlesque, like do we snap? Is it jazz?
Hilarious. Yeah. It's not a fraternity meeting.
I feel like this is a lot more classy of an event. So I don't know the etiquette in which
well,
I'm supposed to respond.
If you've ever been to Jumbo's Clown Room, you know it's not that classy.
snapping is you can get away with not snapping.
Yeah.
But you do throw money down. I mean, there's they. And they're good. That's the first thing. I mean, look, their bodies are very in shape.
What's that?
I've only been to one spot in Atlanta.
Atlanta's insane.
What is it? The big one. The real big one. The Cheetahs?
Yeah.
Look, they're...
I don't think they're Atlanta good. Atlanta's a
I don't know, dude.
They're like
some of them
Cirque du Soleil good.
Yes. Wait, they are? Which one are you talking about? Which one?
Jumbo's Clown Room.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jumbo's Clown is like Cirque du Soleil. Like they're doing tricks on the pole.
Freakishly strong, too.
Yeah.
I was about to say that. There's V Live in Houston. I always go there. I'm in Houston. And I've seen two strippers, like, one upside down, and they, like, are twerking on each other, holding the pole with just their muscles and going pop, pop, and twerking, making each other's ass claps, like 30 feet in the air. And
I'm just see, like, you see that you kind of shit, and you're like, why are you not, like... How much money are you making? It's not enough.
No, it's a lot. They get a lot of money. Let motherfucking... Oh, God. Let black youngster walk in. They're going to leave there with goddamn...
Okay, this is the time when I look at Adam and go, who's black youngster? Who is this?
And that's the time when I look at the other black person who's not here.
It's just one, if you didn't know, they just have a black dude in the corner and just looks at the wall and turns around and goes, he's a rapper.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's usually Norm. That's usually a buddy Norm.
Yeah.
Is Norm not here today?
No, Norm's not here today. But like, he's our resident black guy that just goes, rapper.
Yeah.
Okay.
He needs a day off to research. Yeah. He has to get back in the loop of the game. He's over here telling everybody.
Speaking of rappers, I am just now, like in the last 2 years, I am starting to feel old. Because I like just found out Migos is not one person.
And that's fine.
I thought Migos was one person.
Do you know what's annoying? Older people like avidly trying to keep up. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's just like, why? You have your thing, and that thing is for that thing, and then you die.
Yeah.
Like, I have my thing. Hurricane Chris was a good time. I love Kanye, and I'm just going, I'm not going to keep up with whatever's after this.
Yeah, because, like...
It's not going to be for me.
Because, like, I look up... Like, I try to know what's going on in pop culture just so I can make jokes about it and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'll read TMZ every day just to, like, go through the headlines.
Yeah.
I have no idea who Post Malone is. No,
really?
No clue.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's one you got it. I even know who that is.
I just know that he's got tattoos on his eye,
he's
on
Taylor
his
Swift
eyelids.
Big. He's like
really
actual big. Yeah.
But he.
That's why when people posted pictures of him at the Comedy Store like with Judd and stuff. That's why Judd even took one with him. Just I think he's probably weirdly a fan, but also he's like, oh, this will give me huge dad points.
Oh, you know? God. I mean, just Judd Apatow with Post Malone. Yeah. Like, you never would have seen this in history.
Yeah.
You get to a certain level of fame, I bet you just love taking like obscure combo pics. You know, like if you see another celebrity, you're like, we need this for the gram just so the internet freaks out for it.
Yeah.
Like if I saw Elton John and like... I don't know.
Candace Parker from the WNBA?
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That'd be fantastic. I think more
you and anybody from the NBA.
Yeah. Me and fucking anybody. Mark Madsen, I'll take it.
But the biggest, though, but Shaq.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you with Madsen wouldn't do as much damage.
No, but me,
but Shaq would be kind of corny because I feel like that's been. It would be like Giannis.
There you go.
There you
Giannis would be a good one for you.
Well, we did take a picture of Brad when we went to NBA Summer League, and there was a couple. I assume they were WNBA players. Yeah.
Vegas?
Yeah, in Vegas.
Or yeah, there was one woman
there.
Or
the biggest prostitutes Vegas can provide. Or Vegas is like, look, there is an untapped market for 6'11 whores.
Yeah, that we are going to fill.
Yeah.
There was this 6'11 girl who was also wearing heels, so she was probably like 7'1", 7'2".
They looked like athletic build. You know, sometimes you can just tell. You see someone that tall, you're like... But
and yeah, I took a photo with her, and I think I just walked up and said, "I think we should just have kids, just to see what happens. Like, what'll go down? What sort of mad scientist thing?"
She laughed.
Yeah, she laughed, and I'm like, "Don't worry. Like, I'm married, man. I'm pretty sure my wife would kill me." Yeah. But like, or she'd be like, "Yeah, you should do that." Because I'm curious, too. I have no idea.
Like, even if it's no sex, just put a bunch in a jar and have her take it to the doctor with her. It could be the Kanye Kim thing where they, like, throw the egg and the spackle in the jar and, forms into a child. And we're all supposed to be like, yeah, that's not the devil's work.
Wait, is that how they did it?
Oh, yeah. No, they had a surrogate baby.
Yeah, of course. Had a baby. I always forget that those girls are probably doing that. Like, there's no way Kim Kardashian is going
Kim's almost 40. She can't just be having babies and stuff out here thotting. That's crazy.
Body's not gonna be snapping back.
No. She's done. There's no way she could snap back from something.
Yeah. So now they're paying women. Now if can you imagine being that woman that like you sign up to be a surrogate and then someone just goes, yeah, Kim and Kanye, that's who you're carrying. You're like, what?
What?
You're like,
your rate goes up immediately.
Oh, exactly.
Well, they probably know.
No, her rate was probably crazy. And like Kim like made her live with her and take care of her and fed her and stuff.
It
was
whoa.
Like, it wasn't like they're going to let her like, okay, hold our baby and yes, you can eat Arby's every night like you've been.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it wasn't, like, no, wait, you're no, they have a kale smoothies every night.
Now, here's a question. Do you think it wasn't Caitlyn who was a surrogate, was it?
No.
See, Adam, the penis.
And you're wrong for not thinking that that's a possibility.
I'm pretty sure it's not because.
Do you know how it works?
There. They're getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there.
One day.
Elon Musk is mad. He's not going to do it first.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
He's like, I'm mad. I'm so mad I didn't save the damn kids in the Thai cave. He tried. He's like, I got a thing that digs.
Did he really with what?
He made some robot that like digs or something, and he's like,
and then like the other people who are actually working on it were like, that won't work, and he's like, well, you're a pedophile.
For real?
It was the funniest response. Yeah,
he literally said,
a billionaire called someone a pedophile, and everyone was like, that's hilarious.
Was it just kind of like a slam back? Like he needed some sort of a
he said, well, guess what? You're a pedo. Like a little snappy little Hispanic girl in middle school.
It's like when you're doing those yo mama snaps in elementary school and you just run out of snaps. You're just like, oh, your parents.
Kids. Yo, chill.
There was no yo mama prefacing that, man. Yeah.
And then, of course, some people freaked out. They're like, you should not be called. He's a hero working to. It's like he was saying it in jest. He was saying like, so you don't want to use my robot to save the kids? Fuck you, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, but that's literally what it was.
It's also like there's a certain level where you're no longer allowed to do low fruit jokes.
Yeah.
Low hanging fruit. Like, once you have $1 billion, you can't be like, you're gay. You lost it. You don't get to do that anymore.
Right.
Billionaires need to have the very best jokes at every opportunity.
And like, clever.
Even if they're not funny.
Clever, I don't get, but you are no longer be like, your mama titty sagging. Like, you can't do that.
And that's why being professionally funny is so awesome.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people that, I was just having this conversation with, I think it was Nikki Glaser about, Martha Stewart on the roast or somebody that was like that wanted to be really funny and wasn't but thought she was or something. I can't remember who was this roast or past roast.
Martha Stewart always kills, so it must have been the other old lady.
Sybil?
Yes.
Sybil Shepherd?
Yeah.
She said Sybil was funny. Whatever. So the point being like that even at that level, it's like, yeah, you got money, you got all this, you can do anything, but like, hey man, like you can't buy funny. You can't buy a creative brain.
No.
You got that or you don't. And I mean, shit, I've been around some big money people that like love being around me because they're like, I somehow like validate that they can somehow be.
Hang.
Yeah. And they feel comfortable enough to make a joke to where I'm like, that was kind of funny and we can at least riff instead of them just on their own trying to chime in with something where you're like, nah, dude, that fell real flat. Thank God you have $1 billion and you're paying for this.
Yeah. But it hurts their feelings so much.
Yeah.
It hurts, like, not being funny like, I, especially like I've hung around rappers and they want to be funny so bad, and I just have to give them the laugh so they can keep giving me cocaine.
Yeah.
So you can keep.
I would like some cocaine and whores, please.
Yes.
I will laugh at your stupid joke. But
oh, dude, everybody.
Yes, because they're and also rappers in their field are creative geniuses.
Yeah.
And they're doing something that Lord knows I certainly can't do.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, you can do that.
Yeah.
And that's great. And you can do this. But, and
what is it, though, about comedy that is just this, like, untouchable, like, it's, I mean, because there is no replacement for the work of doing it to then get into a place to where you have that respect, but like you see,
I think it's just because everyone likes the funny guy. Like the funny guy in the room doesn't matter how much money he's making. Like everyone just kind
of dirty New Balances, hoodie, and be the life of the party.
Yeah, if you're that guy
in
the room or that girl, everyone just wants to be your friend, and that's something that if you're a rapper or a billionaire, you can't buy it. You can't be like, I want charm and humor.
But do you think Elon Musk or Bill Gates are working on some sort of chip where they can buy it? You know what I'm saying?
Elon's definitely doing it.
Because definitely Bill Gates is so not in a room being like, yeah, I'm so fat. You know,
There's certain, I don't think he cares about funny. I'm sure he's one of those people who don't care about anything being funny. Elon Musk like got hair implants. He like drives Batman cars. He wants to be like really bad.
Dates Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Like he wants to be one of the cool kids.
He was with Grimes. Like that's like, he wants to try. He tries so hard.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, it's okay. You're changing the world. Just do that.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
We like you.
Dude.
like he made the flamethrowers?
Yeah. And it's like, good. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
But it's like,
do that.
We don't need Batman out here being like, no. Let me try and tag up your joke.
No.
Shut up. Sit where you're at.
Stay in your lane.
Where
have you seen Bill Gates' house? Have you done that thing in Seattle where you've gone on Lake Washington?
Of course,
people,
of course. My baby cousin went to what's that school that his kids went to? Lakewood. Like really expensive.
Yeah,
my aunt is a principal, and like once you're a principal, they like help you finagle even in it, even if you're not even rich enough.
Nice.
And so I'll watch Bill Gates' kids play soccer against my cousin, and she'd be whooping their ass. Now I'm just like, take that capitalism, suck my dick. Go ahead and make half this country home. Go ahead and make this half this city homeless.
Yeah.
As long as my fucking cousin is dropping Jeff Bezos' kids on the ground.
Oh, wow.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that feels
you
good.
Know what?
It felt great.
Because they can't win everything. Can't win everything. That's awesome.
Did I meet you down here before I met you in Seattle?
You met me here.
It was where? The Comedy Store?
Probably the Comedy Store. I was probably like 19 when I first met you.
I think so. And I think
it was after like the Chappelle thing.
Yeah, I met you and then that happened, I think. Yeah. Tell that story.
Oh, Jesus.
That was crazy.
It's like, now it's like a five-parter.
Is it?
Since then. Yeah, because we just had so many experiences since then. But when I was like 19, I used to just, you know, do the mics, do the scene, do the whole.
You started comedy in Seattle before you got down here?
I did comedy one time in Seattle, the Seattle Underground.
Dude, that's my thing. And I did it once just before I came out here, just so I was like, I did it, right? Just to not feel intimidated by LA.
Oh, you wanted to not be intimidated?
Yeah.
I did it because I was forced to by some friends.
Oh,
and then I bombed so hard that I was like, well, it can only be better.
Whoa.
That was my logic.
Hey, you know what? Good for you, because most people, if they bomb the first time, they don't go back.
Right.
They're just like, oh, this is hard.
Well, like if you bomb in a mic and it's like a bunch of 35-year-old soggy, gross white dudes, you're like, this is not even for me.
Right.
I can find what I'm supposed to be talking to.
Okay.
Yeah, but that didn't bother. But yeah, it came down.
But that first time was at least in Seattle, that was like you knew you were going to do stand up.
No.
Okay, that was just like a dare?
I was just terrified. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life.
Whoa.
All my friends were very, very good. Like, they were either good at school, or like my friend Jimmy was going to Washington to play basketball. Jaquan was about to go play football. Another friend was like moving to Europe to like help kids.
Shit.
And all of their dreams fell apart but mine.
Wow. Whoa. And you were like the last dream man.
And my dream was just like right there at the gate. I'm like, running like I'm about to kiss Sandra Bullock.
Comedy, sure, fuck it, I'll do that. Yeah,
and now mine is actually going. And, they're going to figure this shit out.
Wait,
so
funny. did you move to LA with the thought that you were going to do comedy? You're just like, I'm just going to move to LA and do it?
I moved to LA with the thought of wanting to make cartoons.
Really?
And like I was really, really obsessed with the Boondocks.
Right.
And like in my head, I was like, so to be a writer, I need to go here, and then someone's going to see me do something, and then I get to write for the Boondocks. I now know that's not true, but I was like, right. I just was really upset.
But at least you had enough foresight to be like, yeah. I need to be in the place where it's happening.
And I love stand-up. I just thought, I didn't know I was going to keep doing stand-up because I didn't think I had a funny voice.
Right.
I dead-ass thought that you had to have like a silly-ass voice to do this.
Like a, what's up, man? Hey, boy, you better come around the corner.
Like, because everyone I knew was Kevin Hart, Aziz. Yeah.
Cat Williams.
Yeah.
Chappelle. Hannibal.
Yeah.
All these people.
Chris Rock.
Yeah. The person who like kind of gave me confidence was Louis. Like, I remember watching Chewed Up when I first started. I was like, he's just a fucking guy.
He's just a dude.
That's awesome. And I was like, I'm going to just be a guy.
Yeah, you're right. Even Bill Burr doesn't have
everyone
like.
Everyone has a voice.
I mean, his voice is very distinct.
Come on.
But yeah.
Jim Jefferies, he's Australian. Yeah. Everyone has like a, even female, Maria Bamford has a fucking silly voice.
Yeah.
Liza Slushinger does a fucking thing with Chelsea Peretti has like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Melissa
Villasenor.
Everyone
has a thing.
Yeah.
And I just felt so weird that my voice, I mean, I speak fast, but like.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you, because your style, you may have done in your 15-minute Netflix special, which everyone should go watch.
Yeah.
Congrats. So go do that. That's like, you probably have more jokes in those 15 minutes than anybody else.
Yeah, talking about somebody who's like, oh, I'm not getting to 30. Well, it's going to seem like I did.
Well, like, that was the whole thinking. The whole thinking was like, they ain't going to give me another one. So I'm going to just say all the shit.
Because you, like, you did your hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to just go. I'm going to go. And the crazy thing is, like, I'm you know, fingers crossed trying to do 30
of
and then my manager's like, you're gonna slow down this. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I'm gonna just fucking that's my thing, that's
I'm gonna do 2 hours.
I'm gonna just do fucking 30 hours. I'm gonna just fucking Robin Williams this shit out.
Do it.
Wait, we'll put a pin in that because I want to hear about that whole experience too.
Yeah.
But so okay, so you're when you're in Seattle, are you even watching
everything?
Yeah,
so I watch everything.
So once you realize you don't need a funny voice, you were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Then I'll go at least try that.
Yeah.
And that'll be, but that wasn't thinking of like, this is going to be my thing. I'll just, that'll be my way into cartoons.
And I never even seen live stand up before. The first time I did comedy, I didn't never even seen live stand up.
So you had no reference point?
Mm-mm. Only two specials.
Okay. But so you've watched like everything Raw special, or whatever the hell.
All the way back.
All that. Okay. So you know that.
Yes.
But you've never like, you didn't go to the club first to be like, wonder what this is like.
In Seattle, wasn't like as. It wasn't like you can go down on a Thursday and see people. I didn't really understand how to even go in there, and I was too young, and it was all this other stuff. But like when I came to LA, the very first comedy show I ever seen was at the Improv, and the lineup was no joke. It was Gerard, Bill Burr, Santino, Melissa Villasenor, and geez, there's someone else that dropped in that was like, oh, and like I think. Arsenio Hall, and this is my first ever comedy show.
You're like, this is what LA is like.
That's why LA's dope, like, though, man.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I remember, at first I was like, Gerard is skinny, I'm skinny, that's tight. But the one that blew me away, of course, is Burr.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I watched him lose him, then get him, then lose him, then get him, then lose him again. I was like, that's art.
Yeah, and almost losing him on purpose.
He's just playing with him
to get him back again, to be like, yeah, you're gonna hate me. And then you're going to love me again.
It's like when you watch like and-one players play basketball against like civilians and they like roll the ball off their forehead and like throw it behind their back and goes in. They're like, well, you could have just did it regular and been good. That's
they
could
have just driven to the hoop.
Yeah, but
and
they're
done
like,
it.
No, I'm going to just play with you guys because I can.
Yeah, that's it. And so like, did you see that? Now, some people would see that kind of monster lineup and go, well, if that's what it takes, there's no way I could be a comedian.
No, I saw that. And I was just like, I just want to be on a lineup with that.
Yeah.
I didn't, in my head, I was like, I'm never going to be Bill Burr or any of these fucking rich. In my head, also, everyone was rich as fuck. Anyone who did the Improv automatically had $1 million. Just in my head, I was like, no, they all had
And then you quickly find that is the exact opposite.
You're like, Bill Burr. Wow, that comic that I really like just pulled away in a Honda. Like, and not even a new one.
Yeah.
I was asking if he could get an advance on the $8 they just gave him for the spot for next week.
Yeah.
But also, you know, that you do need to see a show like that to like, I don't know, fuel the fire, right? Yeah. And be like, all right, I want to be on that stage.
Yeah.
Like you being around a live audience like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, congratulations, by the way, but I definitely think that thing that filled that hole for me was being a Comedy Store dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because for those of you who don't know, I just got past the store and it, some people were like, oh, but you've done other things. It's like, yeah, but store.
Yeah.
Like that's it means something.
Yeah.
I even remember we were talking about you like and coming around and this and that, and you always had a good attitude as well as like not, because there are a lot of people that have done specials like you and been like, I'm not gonna do the hangout thing. I'm not gonna put in the time. And it's like, all right, well, you probably don't have to do every night staying there in the parking lot till 2 a.m.
Sure.
But you do have to show...
Just show face.
Show face and show an effort that you want to be around. Yeah, because that is... That's what the store is built on, and that's what it is, and that comfortable camaraderie and just being a store person, being around there. And so once you start doing that, then it was like...
Yeah.
And I remember there was a point when you were like, ah, you know what? Just fuck it, whatever. And I was like, you care? And you're like, I do! You know?
Yeah, because, I mean, sure, there was a time when it was like, when the hot girl rejects you, and you're like, well, I didn't like you anyway.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, no, but
I still
of course
want that.
You do.
I still want
of
that.
Course
gushy,
you do.
Gushy, gushy, gushy.
And it's funny, because now it's like comics are writing me and being like, dude, awesome, congrats. Mm-hmm. And then non-comics are like, what's the big deal? It's just a comedy club. And it's like, yeah, you don't get
that's
it.
That's the fraternity. You're
exactly.
What was your process to...
Well, like you guys, I'm sure you kind of came in the same way I did.
Yeah.
Like when there's like Adam's passing like super popping comics, mm-hmm. and then he passed like the up and coming dogs. If you want any type of advice of how to get at least in the system there, just fucking be cool to the door, guys.
Right,
100% of it.
You were coming around for a while.
Yeah. I was coming around for a while.
Okay, so you got to from Seattle to LA.
Yeah,
and then you're just like, all right, hit the pavement running. Just start showing up.
Someone said Comedy Bureau, Comedy Bureau website, and I was like, all right. And I just did 3-4 mics a night every single day for 2 years straight. And I'll work at Starbucks and Target and get fired. I just get fired from jobs every single fucking week.
Why?
Because I just didn't show up.
You didn't care.
Yeah, it's like because the mic will be at like 5. I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna go to work.
Yeah,
and then I just fucking be poor, and I lived in this downtown basement, like shit. Like I remember, like cockroaches would run over my legs every single night, and it was just. But it was like, no, I'm not gonna be the loser.
They're like, you coming? We're hitting the mic.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm up. I just never wanted to be home because my home was fucking garbage trash.
Yeah,
so I was just like, I was just going, and I don't even remember.
Are your folks, family checking in?
They thought I was in school. I lied.
Whoa!
Really?
I told him I was going to some like community college. I told him I was going to Santa Monica.
Right.
And
oh,
I just
wow.
I just sent them the emails. I just forwarded them fake emails and shit. And then she finally found out. And by the time she found out, I was working for a Lucas Brothers Moving Company.
So there you go.
They're
so
like,
you
got like, I'm your already job. Having a job.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fine. Stay
yeah,
there.
Stay there.
Dang.
But see, you kind of skipped over it, but I want to make sure we hit it that you were doing at least like three to four. Yeah, 3 to 4 mics. A night for 2 years.
How are you getting around to them?
Just me and my friend Garrick Bernard would like switch off driving every single night.
Right.
And so we had like, I mean, Quincy Jones was a part of this, and there's like a lot of comics, and some of them fell off, of course. But like, I would have one sign me up here at this mic, and another one sign me up here at this mic, and I would sign all my friends up at this mic, and we barely would even see each other because I would be doing my spot here, and then I'll go do where he signed me up. And then he'll go where I signed him up, and we'll just keep switching.
Oh,
and then
wow.
At the end of the night, we'll probably go like to the Improv or the Comedy Store and hang out. But
damn,
it was a system. It was a system. It was friends. We all tried very, very hard. We would send each other albums every day, and we like the whole thing was like we had to listen to at least 2 or 3 comedy albums a week.
Yeah,
and we were just I don't even remember. I don't even remember getting pussy. I don't remember nothing. It was just comedy. It was just comedy.
I want people that are like, I want to be a comedian, or I'm thinking about being a comedian. I hope they hear those words and don't do that thing where they come out here and go, well, I'm going to give it a shot for like 2 months, and then if nothing happens, it's like, dude.
Or the 6 months, like, how do I get to become a regular at the factor? Like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, everyone has their own path.
Yeah.
Right? You figure that out probably pretty quick.
Very quickly.
Do you have anybody telling you, some elder statesman being like, just put in the work, or do you just kind of like get a sense
I just got to,
it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen?
I fortunately had like Al Magical near me.
Yeah.
I had Gerard, of course. I had Jamar. Jake Wiseman always took care of me.
What would Gerard say to you?
Gerard.
Because he was already.
He was a different
Gerard.
Thing. Gerard didn't take care of me like in terms of ethic. He was more just like, this is what you do with suits. This is how you maneuver in the game. This is how you don't. Like, you know, he's Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. You can't catch that. You can't catch
Whoa.
Him. He's too elusive. Yeah, bro's elusive. He hugs, he kisses, he leaves.
Yeah.
Bro's good at it. And he's just like, do this, do that, do that. And I had to make my own way of doing it. But yeah, he's great.
And
Jamar the most, though, in terms of comedy. In terms of
Jamar
comedy.
Jamar
Neighbors taught me the very most amount of comedy.
That's great.
What anything you can share that he told you early on? That really resonated?
The thing that really resonated is one time I was on stage and I was sounding like Hannibal when I was first starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jamar would just sit in the back of the room and he'd go, boo, boo, that's not how you talk. That's not how you talk. That's not how you talk. And then I'll just walk off the stage and then And he would, and then if I sound like anyone, he would always just like clown me for it. And I'm like, you gotta. He wanted me to find whatever how I talk and.
Whoa, even if it's fast, hey, that's good.
You need friends like that to hold you accountable because nobody else is except for you. And and look, there is it is such a solo adventure where we figure out so much of this on our own, just from getting reps. But like, hey man, like there's also nothing in the rule book because there is no rule book that says like you can't get have a friend. Early on, like, give you a boost or point you in a direction to get you on that path a little quicker.
And another thing was Jamar always told me to watch everybody. Like, you know those comics when you first start and, like, the improv will have some person in it that we all, like, they fucking are a hack or they fucking suck or whatever. It's like, no, I'm going to go watch because why do they suck?
Right.
I want to know why they suck.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying they suck, I'm going to go see what they did that sucked.
Or why is this guy killing that you might think should...
Yeah,
and I saw that last night at the Ha Ha. I could not stop fucking watching this guy crush. And literally, if you were to write down what he was saying, or like it was a a combination of the crowd and him and like the night. And I was just like, I can't even believe what I'm watching.
You have
right
to understand, people be having moments, and you gotta like see because it's comedy be pissing you off because most of the time it shouldn't work, and some people get it to work.
Yeah,
and it's just like okay. How?
Yeah.
How did you do
that? For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's all magic tricks.
Yeah, instead of getting mad at it, be like, what's that guy doing? Like, he's obviously connecting.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Like, you can, like, what's our job? Is to get on stage and make people laugh, right? Yeah. Like, to entertain. So it's like, if that guy's doing that for a significant amount of people, that he's not doing something wrong. Like, but find out, you know.
And that's my favorite part about it is that if you don't like a comic, but they're getting laughs, you can't say they're bad at it.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I'm just, like, it's not for me, but...
You can say they're unoriginal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can easily say they're unoriginal.
But it, if it's
are
working...
Are they bad at the thing?
You can say, I would never pay to go see that.
Yeah. No.
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Look, life gets tough for everybody. And, you know, the ups and downs can take a toll on your mental health. Thankfully, BetterHelp is here, a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, available worldwide. And it's available for you to reach out to somebody to have some chats with about what you're going through. You know, it's like a weekly therapist that you can schedule and have through video and phone sessions, also available on your desktop, mobile, web, Android, and iOS apps. You can send messages 24/7, 365. To get matched with a counselor who's right for you, professional and affordable counseling, because we all need it. You know what I'm saying? I just started getting into therapy, and it's changing a lot of stuff for me. You must be 18 or older to join. We have a custom link for you, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. And you sign up. It's proactive mental health. It's not a crisis line. Financial aid is available. The expertise in this network is locally available in many areas. But regardless, if it's not close by for you, again, video and phone sessions are available. And it's easy to change counselors if you're not happy with the one that you get matched with. But I highly recommend it. And again, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Find a professional and affordable counselor for you to just chat with and, you know, navigate through the tricky waters of life. Because it can get a little bumpy out there, as Mariah Carey once said. I don't know if she said that, but hey, it's even gotten bumpy for her. BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight and start treating yourself to some help, some mental help. We all need it. All right, back to the episode.
But it's crazy because like you talk about how some things like you would look at it as not be funny. I had to do a TV set in Montreal where I had to type out my set, and I'm reading my set going, this is the most unfunny. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
They're paying me to do this?
Yeah.
And then I perform it, and it gets laughs. Yeah. I'm like, something happens. You know, I'm doing something differently than just reading it in the voice of Stephen Wright in my head.
I know.
You know?
Oh, you read it in Stephen Wright voice?
Yeah. I just read it like Stephen Wright.
Like, do a Brad Williams joke as Stephen Wright.
Okay.
Do your quicksand joke. Oh, no, you're saving that probably for a special.
Yeah.
All right, do one you've already done.
Yeah, that's a new special. Okay, I'll do a new one. Holy crap. You're out there, and you're going to have the best story out of any one of your friends, because they'll get to see a stripper tonight, and you get to say, big deal, a midget told me jokes.
Still funny. Way funnier when you do it.
First of all, fantastic impression.
Yeah, great Stephen Wright. I didn't know I could do a Stephen Wright.
And you leaned into it and just wrote it out.
Yeah. Wait, now do it as Michael Caine.
All right, so I'll now do the rest of my set is Michael Caine. Michael Caine. Yeah, a midget telling you jokes. That's actually happening right now. That's not a real night out. That's a NyQuil dream.
Yeah. That's, by the way, if you talk about like a celebrity I would love, I was talking about this the other day, like somebody that would just say fuck acting altogether and commit. Because you just see how like there are certain TV people that make that transition.
Yeah.
Steve-O, who we're having on later tonight, like he's jumped in fully, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But how about like an Academy Award winner? Like Denzel or fucking
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
I don't know if it just yet. Fuck it. I've done it all. I'm gonna go do the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah. I'd be all about it. Would you get, well, how would you guys view it? Would you get pissed?
When
you see people jump in, are you like, do you get prideful and you're like,
no, I hate it, but I love it when they do one man shows.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Tyson's show sounds hilarious and fun, but it's like when they're like, I'm gonna be a comedian. It's like, no,
you're not.
Now you're gonna do 25 minutes longer and now I'm gonna have to wait because Russell's coming next and I'm gonna be on bumped again.
That's when it kind of bumps me out too. It's like, hey, if you want to do a one man show, that's fine, get some writers together, perform in a small space.
Yeah,
but when you're going up at the Comedy Store and taking a spot from someone that's trying to eat,
it's a different thing.
That's
because you could have your own. Just fucking get a warehouse. You can pack it up. You can pack it out yourself, and you can work something out yourself. And I was like, this, it's corny when someone can fill out a room themselves and work something out.
When going around all these open mics, is there would you say that like having a good community of other comics you're doing it with is definitely like a support system? Is invaluable.
A 2-3 team definitely helped out. It 100% helped out. Like even when shit got mad depressing and mad sad, it was just nice to have someone like, no, you're funny, bro. Just fucking chill.
Dude, you need that. Yeah. Even one person just saying like pick you up.
Even this far in my career, I still need someone. I still need Sam J to like tap me and be like, yo, bro, you're dope.
And by the way, I'm telling you from 11 years in, and Brad can tell you from 13, 14.
15.
Yeah. Guess what, man? It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You still have those nights where you're like, I need a fucking a fun night out or some sort of a pick-me-up or a hand job in the back of an Uber. Like something to go, everything's going to be okay.
Stop making eye contact with me when you're doing that. Yeah, exactly.
But, right?
Same shit. Yeah. No, it's definitely, and there's even still nights where you have one bad set or a joke doesn't work or you've been doing the same jokes for a while that work. You try a new joke, it doesn't work. Then you're like, fuck, what the hell am I doing with my life? Let me go back and put on a suit.
How often do you try and do new shit?
Every week.
Same.
Every
I know
week.
If I start doing old shit, I'm gonna like put a bullet in my brain. So I have to like always do new shit.
And that's how you write a new hour every year. Is it's not when you look at it as I have to write a new hour, that's intimidating. Mm-hmm. When you look at it as I gotta write like 45 seconds a week.
Yeah. It's not that hard. And you naturally tag up your own jokes if you're like getting enough stage time and going up as much as possible.
Yeah. Then because just you'll get bored.
Yeah.
when you write a new joke, that's like 475 words for every 10 seconds. It's crazy.
I think you
have to write a lot.
It's so funny because I think I'm going to talk how I normally talk, and I'm going to keep fucking going and keep saying words.
Hey, I understand that because certainly when I started and even a bit now, I still talk really fast. And my philosophy is that if you don't like the joke, if the joke didn't work, I don't want the audience to have time to think and realize that the joke didn't work. I want them just to be like, they didn't laugh, but then there's another joke coming.
Right.
And then that joke makes them laugh.
Right. So I think that's been my mentality as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's wrong or right.
That's one of the beautiful parts about this thing is that there is no wrong or right.
Right.
It's just
living in it.
Yeah, don't steal material. That's the only wrong. That's the only wrong.
And other than that, it's crazy that people keep doing that.
Dude, yeah, man.
I thought that was like when you first start comedy, like people steal material.
Yeah.
And then you're in it, you're like, Jesus, this many people?
I saw a kid take a bit of mine at an open mic I was doing, like comics after I went up. Like I went up maybe 4 and he was on like 12 and I was sticking around and I see him go up do the same bit and I was just like, afterwards, I was like, hey, man, I literally just did that. Like, I was the same joke. I was like, no, you fucking don't, because I've seen you here every week.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And in this age of the internet where someone can get called out so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, Hell, we all just saw what happened to that one comic up in Montreal where
he had Gatsby. Yeah, she stole the entire hour from John Leguizamo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was his shit. Yeah. He was doing I'm a Lesbian before. No. That one comic on Variety's Top 10 Comics to Watch who bombed, and now he's like, his agents dropped him.
Yeah.
And he's essentially out of the industry now.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm pro him.
Pro him.
Outside looking in, of course, I wasn't there.
Okay.
But it's like one of those things is like, why do I know what happened? Why can I visually see what happened? Whatever happened to like comics keeping comic shit to comics?
Well, as someone, I wasn't in the room, but I know a lot of the people that were. And basically he was talking shit to a lot of the comics before the show, like in the green room, to the point where they banned him.
They banned him from the green room for talking shit?
Yeah, they're like, no.
They didn't just talk shit back like a comedian?
I wasn't there.
That sounds crazy for the Variety's Top 10 Comics not to talk shit back to somebody.
Yeah.
Again, these are all my friends. I know all of them as well. But I just think it's very silly that no one just clowned him. I thought it was...
It is kind of crazy.
He was a dude in a mini vest with long, dry hair. You guys had to tell the festival on him? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, who's it? Redneck Mama?
What's his name? Southern Mama.
Southern Mama.
He's basically just...
He's a YouTuber.
Yeah. He has so much problems with black characters, yet stole a black character. That's... Take him out, bro. Just fucking roast him up right quick and get this over with.
Yeah, well, it's just, and it's crazy though that, like, now we're living in a time where one bad set has the possibility
to take out everything
of ending your career. Richard Pryor bombed on stage at the Hollywood Bowl at a gay rights fundraiser and turned on the crowd and started calling them the F word, not fuck the other one. And still had a career after that. And there's audio recordings of this shit.
Hilarious.
And he still had a career after that. Back in the day, you had to string together quite a streak of missteps to go away.
In Pryor's defense, he was bi.
True.
He did suck a lot of dick, so I think he had all the right to say the word.
1,000%. Yeah.
Hey, man.
If there's any there legendary comic that could yell the F word at a bunch of F words, he's the one.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. He did it.
When you did a spot on my show in Seattle, the Parlor, you were how long in at that point into stand-up?
2 years.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 2 years into comedy.
And that... Correct me if I'm wrong, but you weren't old enough to be in the club.
I was 20,
right?
Before you, so they made me wait outside. But I was like,
"Isn't that fucking crazy?"
I got banned from the Comedy Store 2 times, and Adam had to ban me because they're going to lose their liquor license. But I just kept sneaking in, and there was. I always make fun of him before, but there was one day he's like, "Dude, I like you. Just fucking wait till your birthday." And you know how Adam like does, like he's always on the move and frustrated.
Yeah.
And finally, when he's really mad at you, he takes that time to just fucking.
Oh, right. Come on, man.
Just do me a fucking solid.
Yeah.
Just do me a solid and don't come back. I'll get you a beer for your birthday.
Nice. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fine, I won't come back. And then came back.
when you brought your family out, right?
Yeah,
to see you at the Parlor.
Yeah, what, they still are very thankful for you giving me
my first Seattle spot.
Oh, ever.
Shit.
Yeah.
Remember, I think I had to talk to the club about, I didn't know you were 21 until maybe like a couple hours before the show or something. And then I was like, oh, by the way, hey, and they were just like, what the fuck? I was like, dude, you got to let him go up, man. His family's here. It's a big deal.
And then went and worked out. And he killed, and everyone, it was fucking,
and you crushed. I remember watching too, and I was like, oh, yeah, this kid's going to like. I was like, I'm glad I gave him a spot. You know? When you perform in your hometown for the first time, what's that like after like being here for a little bit?
There was
you feel more pressure.
I opened for you, and then I opened for Bobby Lee up there, and now and then it went like 2 years later. So like I think it was like 4 or 5 years in the comedy. Came back and headlined the Underground.
Nice.
And like everybody came out, but they like my homies came out with something. This nigga's about to be trash. I can't wait for him to be trash.
Really?
And like good spirits, but still like kind of heck. Like,
for sure. Sure.
And I crush for just 45 straight. Just
damn.
Hard crush. And like, it was...
How
it
good
was,
does that feel?
It was the best feeling I think I've had in comedy. You know, just to have...
Because also afterwards, everyone probably is like confirming to you.
Taking
like,
pictures,
yeah, man.
Like, dude, you fucking... Please don't stop. This is your thing, just keep going. Keep fucking... Like, all my friends who like figured their lives out and kind of like got deterred were like, fuck, he's doing the thing.
Yeah, man.
It was solid feeling.
That's awesome. How does that compare to watching your Netflix special?
No, okay. Netflix is way better. That was insane.
To performing at the Comedy Underground.
Yeah.
Now, like, and that's one thing though is that your comedy career is not one moment.
It's a bunch.
It's a lot of things.
And that's what the 15 definitely did. It was like even when it came out and I was watching it with all my friends, I was like, or like everyone back home, I was like kind of cringing, like, oh, shouldn't have did that.
Sure.
Hated that. And I was like, but I'm good, so I'm going to get another shot, and that's tight. And that's very, very tight. You just get to keep getting a shot and a shot and a shot.
Yeah.
Until you don't.
Yeah.
and then you kind of...
Until you redneck mama yourself, and then you don't get another shot.
I didn't know you wrote on Big Mouth, Nick Kroll's Netflix show. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Cartoon Dream lived.
Yeah. Wrote for 3 cartoons now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What else besides Big Mouth?
Lucas Brothers Moving Company.
Right.
When I was 20. And then there was this one cartoon for ADHD that was going to come out and then didn't, but I wrote for that.
Now, how do you even get on the Lucas Brothers thing?
Swear to God, first of all, I hate to say this and people are going to be mad. I've never written a packet.
Yeah, I was going to ask. When do you realize you can do that?
Never written a packet.
So you're like, once you get representation, you're like, hey, I want to write on cartoons.
No,
like,
that didn't happen either.
Oh,
the Lucas Brothers saw me go up one night, and they're like, you're funny. I was like, thanks. You're like, you want to come to the office and just hang out and talk?
Yeah.
I was like, sure.
Yeah.
I thought we were just going to kind of smoke, and we ended up smoking. And I told them, like, we were riffing. I was like, yo, y'all should do an episode. Just being a dickhead, like, y'all should do this.
Yeah, of course. But that's kind of what they asked you there for.
I was like, y'all should do an episode where there's a third sister. And she's mad that the other sisters left her and became famous. And then that became an episode of the Lucas. Go on Hulu. There's an episode of the third evil. And that was how I got the job.
Yeah. And for the people who aren't in the business, when you say you never put in a packet, I want to clarify that.
Yeah.
Like, a writing packet is what all writers have to put together. And it's not shows that you've worked on. It's literally just scripts.
Spec scripts of like Always Sunny or something.
Yeah. Like, either like, hey, if I were to write an episode of, like you say, Always Sunny. This would be that episode, or this is my original script idea, and you just hand that to head writers, showrunners, and hopefully they like your writing, and then they hire you. Yeah. That's still abbreviating a lot of shit.
You have to do. There's nowadays, if you're getting in a room, you better have a bunch of shit. But
so the fact that you got on a show
twice
without a packet, it's nuts.
It's very weird. The second time, I just did Nerd Melt and like killed real hard, and Peretti and Kroll were there, and Kroll was like, hey, come to my house again. It was like another come to my house.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about.
But also, that's kind of how it should work, where you get the hang in and you go, all right, are they going to be cool at the office, first of all, and then be funny?
Yeah. No, I think I always tell Nick, like, I don't even think it was my stand-up that got me the job. I think it's I sat in the back green room and we riffed for like 30 minutes. And he was like, yes.
There you go.
Dope. Like, just don't leave the show. If you're coming up and no one really knows you, just don't leave.
Hang, man.
Hang.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Hang.
Wait, so Nick sees you at the show and then goes, come.
Yeah.
Wait, he says, stick around or come to my house.
He said, this week we're just like, they want me to come and hang out. And then I did Largo with them and then I got the job.
And then did he tell you like, hey, I have a cartoon?
Yeah.
And so and then you kind of
didn't know anything about it.
Did he ask you to riff on it or did he just say like?
Well, originally he wanted me to just do a character, which I ended up doing. I'm the only black kid on the black dude with the fro and the purple shirt.
Yeah. Token Jack Knight.
Yeah. So cool. I was like Devon and he wanted me to just play Devon. And I was like, oh, but like, I started just telling stories of like growing up and doing bad shit. And talk
about like having someone that's like as close as anybody to like that age range that they're writing for.
Everyone was 10 years older. Quiet as it's kept, they were off with a lot of shit about kids. And I'm 24, 22 at the time when they asked me, 21 at the time when they asked me. So it was like, I'm still wrong about middle schoolers.
Right.
But they're like, they're saying lit when it's like a comma. And it's like, what are you doing, bro?
Dude, I was just going to say, like, the amount of... I don't even know if you probably feel it at this stage. Because
the turnover culture is crazy.
Yeah, but you're 24. Yeah. I feel like you're still at a time where you're very much locked into what's happening, yeah?
I'm trying.
But are there 14-year-olds that you're, like, hearing that people are saying shit and you're like...
Yeah.
Right, like, you have a friend's brother or something where they say something. And you're like, what'd you say? They're like, oh, that's what we say now.
Yeah,
you're
like, he's like... Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. But it's just like, if you just gotta not be, all it is just, the only way to not be corny is just pick your spots.
Yeah.
And pick your spots.
And we kind of talked about it before. Like, I'm not going to try to talk about
Migos
rappers because right. I don't know.
Right.
So I'll just talk about the shit that I know about. Right.
But to do your
and
job.
And that's fine.
Yeah. But to do your job, you need to be able to reference Migos.
Yes. Yeah. I'll be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until the Donald Glover SNL sketch that I realized that Migos was. I watched the Donald Glover SNL sketch and I was like,
"Friendo,
oh yeah,
that's hilarious."
When the guy's in the back in the therapist's office is going Lambo, like that, it was hilarious. And I'm just watching that, going, "Wait, is Migos three people?"
Yeah,
and I like Google it. I'm like, "It's a group."
And guess what? Michelle Tanner on Full House, two people.
Shut the fuck up.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
I'll fight you.
Wait, did you cry when you got the job and you were a voice because you wanted to be on? That was like what you came here for.
I was scared. I couldn't even get to the point of like feeling accomplished because I felt accomplished when the season was over and I saw it visually, but animation takes so long that you don't really get the nut until like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Wow. But when I first got the job, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And I just had that fear.
Did you say that to anybody?
Yeah, I said it to Nick. And he was like, cool, it's fine. And it was awesome. It was very, very easy breezy.
What room. A good move to do that, by the way, because it is easy to not do that and just be like, I need to act like I've been here before. People
but
say
then you
that
start
a lot.
Fucking up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone's expecting, and then all of a sudden at the end of it, they fire you and you go, and you're walking out and you be like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I'd never been here. And they're like, why didn't you say that, man? Yeah. Like, we would have worked with you.
Yeah.
We want you to win.
People want to be a part of someone's story so bad that if I were to just be like, I'm a young comedian, I don't know how to write, they'd be like, oh my god, they want to like be a part of the story thing.
Now do you like write episodes on your own? Do you pitch jokes for episodes?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I wrote my first episode this year.
Nice, man.
It's about I can't say.
Okay. That's fine. But like when you're pitching jokes as the youngest guy in the room and you're pitching jokes to like Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, are you like, does that intimidate you, or are you just like,
no? Because I see them bomb.
Okay.
It's very humanizing to watch John Mulaney eat a dick a bunch of times in a row.
Wow. Like,
not in a bad way. He's like, you know, he's John fucking Mulaney. But like when you see shit like that, you're like, we all just people, dog.
Yeah.
You're talking about like in the writer's room, like throwing stuff against the wall.
Or on stage, or like when they go to the VO booth and they have the riff and like the riff don't work and it's like, I'm literally having to watch the executive producer press a button and be like, hey, that doesn't work, Mulaney. Can we do a couple more takes, or do you want to like take a breath or something?
Yeah.
I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, man.
He's getting booed off the mic right now.
on his show.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? And
Eric Kroll, who's different beast, bro.
Yeah, he's up there.
He's in a
different league.
He'll literally jump from all five characters that he plays in one script, and we won't even write nothing. He's just like, okay, I want the scene to be like this, and he'll go like from the Hormone Monster to Coach Steve to Nick to Lola to da da.
Some Seth MacFarlane shit for sure,
he's
right?
He's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
bro's crazy.
And what have you learned from that you can kind of just the writing room that you can take to like stand up?
Oh, it made me a way better writer in the sense of like it because before that room, because that a Big Mouth goes for such heart wrenching shit while also being like come.
Yeah,
but it's like
heartfelt come.
Someone please isolate that audio. Just going,
come.
Yeah, no, but it, like I remember the first episode is about masturbation in a way that I've never seen.
Yeah.
Not just in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Just a show.
Yeah. And the next season is way crazier. Really hit it. And then.
That's crazy.
Bleeping
man.
This out.
Yeah.
Third season's the best thing in the world.
Ah, yeah. Love hearing that, man.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. And it's just cool to see that many talented people come together and for it to work.
It's very easy. There's no ego trips. There's no nothing.
That's great.
Everything is heard out. Everything is. We try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. And in terms of bringing everything to stand up, it made me like. Bring heart in the stand up instead of just like, here's a punchline.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let me say,
give him a story.
I'm not a dumb dude. Let me just say something smart here and then bring it into something funny.
And
that's what like story writing kind of.
And you are, I want to tell people that you're not you're not a dumb comic. I watched your special, some shit you talk about with the male birth control that is now coming true.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope I helped.
Yeah. You like totally validated that. And then your bit on why men act feminine.
Yeah, why black men are feminine now.
holy shit. Like,
that was great. Where did that come from?
I stopped the special and called to my wife, and I was just like, did you guys see this shit? He's been saying the thing that I've been ranting about, but I'm scared to say because I don't want to be called a racist. No, but he said it. Yeah. Like, way funnier. Yeah.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was so smart.
I have, it's one of those things where, like, I have a, and this is just for people who like, if you coming up, keep funny motherfuckers around you that challenge your thought.
Yeah.
And I as much time as I spend my girl, I'll hit up Garrick, or I'll hit up Sam J and just talk to Sam J on the phone for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And we'll both leave with 4 bits.
Yeah.
We'll just
talk about life. Yeah. And the government and fucking race and sexuality and everything.
You need those friends, man.
Zach Fox is another one for me. I'll call Gerard. just hash out ideas and thoughts.
Yeah.
And bring different ideas and thoughts to one another so you can, like, take it and run with it.
Oh, it's crazy. Because sometimes in this business, especially if you're doing the road too much, mm-hmm. you start
isolating yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And that's bad.
Because you're not getting new ideas.
You're not getting new ideas.
You're the only person.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. So sometimes that's why you go to the comedy store. That's why you hang out. Because you'll start riffing and you'll start talking. You'll be like, oh, shit, that's funny.
Yeah. That's why I come earlier to my set and leave after. Like, because there's, like, my little circle of people at the comedy store that mm-hmm. I'm like. Like, of course, I would want to hang out with like, go over to the circle that you guys are standing there and just fucking Burr and Shafir and, like, all you guys, by the bar, making everyone scared.
Yeah, and you'll, like, walk over there and be quiet next to us being quiet.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to fuck up. I'm just, like, sitting there watching Bill Burr argue with someone, like, okay, don't say anything, Brad. Because if I say something, it's like,
he's
going to
turn on me.
Burr. You don't want that night to be, bookended with a weird look from Burr on your drive home. You're like, I could have left 5 minutes sooner.
Yeah, just like,
I could have been. You know,
Burr's talking to Rogan about the government, and I'm like, don't say shit, Brad.
Oh,
like,
man, I remember I was in the back bar, and I was just playing. They let me, Punky Johnson just let me play music back there.
Dope, yeah.
And then Joe came in with Burr, and I think it was like Shafir and like a whole bunch of dudes, and like Burr was arguing with someone, and I don't even know the name of this kid. He was just like some young kid that just was a comic around the way, and he like kind of forced himself into the conversation.
Jesus.
And then he said something, and it bombed hard. And I just see Burr and Rogan just whoop. Mm-hmm. And Burr's just like, get the fuck out of here. didn't roast him, didn't do nothing. And I just watched this guy just melt. And I was like, I'm gonna get my drink and I'm gonna go.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I respect
take
him.
Swings.
I respect him for taking the swing. But
do you?
But I
don't respect him for taking the swing.
But he could have just took.
Know your spot. Too.
Know your spot.
You got to know that you can miss, and you got to know those consequences.
Go swing with your friends. Yeah. Don't come up here and swing with major leaguers. How dare you?
I don't know, dude. You got to. I'm a big advocate of, like, you got to be. Like, I've never beelined my way into a Burr Rogan conversation. And even now, like, I've felt like now they both at least know my name, and I like feel like on somewhat of a rapport, like friendly level. But I still wouldn't like just beeline out of nowhere if I just saw just them.
No,
but guess what? If I walked by, I wouldn't just walk by. I'd like say what up to them because that's weird. If you go, if you want to, you know, be looked at in a certain light, you got to be like acknowledge that. Like, okay, cool. The last 40 times I've seen them, they've said what up when I've said what up, or they've said it to me when they've walked in from the parking lot. So if you just walk by like you're scared, then you're basically just keeping that wall up.
Yeah. All I do is I'm never not loud there. You've seen me be loud there numerous times.
Yeah.
But I will not talk to them first.
Yeah.
That is my rule.
Yeah.
If
work up to it.
Or if anyone is before me in the motherfucking lineup,
it's just
gotta,
like a set.
They got to talk to me first.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come over like, what do you think? I'm not going to fucking do that. What I think. It's fuck off. No. Because I don't want no young motherfucker to come and do that to me when I'm in that position.
Yeah.
I'm saying this right now on this podcast. If I'm older to you and you try and talk to me, I'm going to be mean. I'm fucking drinking and talking to my friends. That's fucking rude.
Yeah, have tact.
I'm
going
to be very, very mean to you.
Dude, lack of tact is that should be the name of my special because it's maybe my biggest pet peeve. Actually, I'm going to name it pet peeve. It's lack of tact, colon, pet peeve.
Have a B-side.
Has anyone ever done that? Yeah.
A B-side special?
Yeah.
You should just shoot a one where like the background's blue and the other one like the background's red. And like one special's like you just like women are great. And
you just said the background. Is that the black background?
Okay.
That's a great name for a TV show.
The Black Round, and it's just five black dudes mad about something.
Oh my God, it's a new tough crowd with all black dudes.
I mean, come on.
With receding hairlines and gray beards. Just like, these fucking kids don't know rap.
Someone
these called. Dwarves don't know who Migos is.
Yeah. Can you believe that? They think it's one motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was one motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
just me in the middle getting roasted by four black comics.
Oh, that's
amazing. This already got picked up for 50 episodes on TV One.
Was House Party your first stand-up TV spot?
Meltdown.
Meltdown was
Meltdown.
Okay,
my
cool.
first Meltdown one that I did. How and yeah.
House Party was, you were season
two.
Two, that's right. Yeah. New Orleans, yeah.
I think you guys, no, I was season three, I'm sorry.
Hawaii, that's right.
Yeah, I was Hawaii. Yeah. I got the best one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you really
I got
did.
To ride a horse on the beach.
Yeah, that's right.
For a 7-minute set. That shit's crazy.
How dope was that, by the way? Because they flew us all out there.
Yeah, and I was like, so great. Thank you, Adam, for getting this movie. Thank you, Adam, for getting this movie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I just got, and they let me stay after. It was awesome.
How great is that?
Who was on your episode?
You
know, who knows? Yeah, but fun experience, right?
Fantastic.
Because I mean, the stand up is such a, and then the acting, like you get to
do everything.
Was that first time you got to like act first and flex that
act,
muscle.
First time I got to do any of the things, and it was great. I was very, very appreciative.
Yeah, I looked in your calendar. Are you going to London?
Yeah, for a whole month. Every year I just go out.
Yeah.
And so this year I'm doing Soho House for a week.
And is that like as part of a festival? Or are you
by myself?
You're just going.
So us. Eliza did that for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Brent did it too.
Yeah. It's
so
like,
that's a spot where Americans can go and it's known for being a...
I went to Melbourne last year and did the Melbourne Comedy Festival where you get like put up for 2 or 3 weeks and you just like fucking... And I fell in love with like not doing American comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it like... It I already speak in Ebonics and already speak kind of slick and speak in like young terms. So it's like imagine that somewhere else.
Fuck yeah.
It's actually easier.
Yeah,
because they're like, you're the thing that I keep seeing on TV, and now you're here being funny. That's crazy,
right?
Because they're like, I love Migos. Now there's a Migos talking kid. That's fucking crazy.
A Migos talking kid.
Can you buy that doll somewhere?
I mean, wait, but it's coming a set of one or three. I have no
I'm
idea.
The middle Migos.
Oh, middle Migos.
I'm middle Migos.
No idea. No, and the thing about that is you think your set isn't American specific until you start. Doing it in another country and you're about to do a punchline, you're like, oh, I don't think they know that.
Yeah.
Like I have the punchline of the Bud Light commercial where they go dilly dilly, like and I was doing that in Canada and it wasn't getting a response, and then someone finally came up to me and was like, hey, they don't have that commercial here,
right?
And I was like, oh
yeah,
well that makes a lot of sense. Now so just something little like that where you think like, oh, well, that Bud Light commercial is running everywhere. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Or like you'd be like, and then the motherfucker went to CVS. They don't got CVS.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to like find their CVS and then like put it in the rhythm of your joke writing.
Right.
And say that.
Adjust it.
Or just not do the joke.
Yeah. It's really a cool experience. And I'm glad you're doing that.
Oh, no, I'm
have gonna, you been to London before?
Yeah. No, I've never been to
it's
Europe.
The shit. I studied abroad there. You're going to fucking fall in love with it. It's the shit. I mean, A, there's no language barrier.
Yeah.
And then it's
and
also
that's already fantastic.
It's awesome.
That helps.
It's just a very, and for lack of a better word, posh. But like, there's very. It's so big, dude. It's you know, New York City.
Is there New York City?
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's just so many different areas where you're like, okay, you're like, there's tons of money here, this and that. But then you can find the spots that are like, just
no,
true. Like,
do
go to Camden Town. That's where I got offered weed, coke, ecstasy. Weed, coke, ecstasy. And then me and my buddies in the acting program, we went down there super late one night. And so just oblivious and ignorant to the ways of buying drugs in a foreign country.
Right.
And we walked in this one alley and the guy was like, you guys looking for weed? And we were like, yeah. He's like, follow me. And he's like, all right, I need 200 quid. And we're like, what about the weed for a sec? Dude, you don't think I'm going to not bring it back? I got to go behind this corner real quick, behind this alley, and I'm going to go get it. I'm going to come back. And my buddy was like, I don't know. And I was like, dude, we want the weed. And he's like, we do want the weed. All right. So you promise you're coming back? We said to a drug dealer, you promise you're coming back? And the guy was like, come on, man. Yeah. And we were like, all right, you seem like a good London drug dealer. It is 3 a.m. Only the bad ones come out at 4 a.m. So then he left. And obviously 10 minutes later, we're like, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
But that
and he, came into and he's actually telling this story on a podcast with drug dealers. Right. Like, these fucking idiots just let me go.
Fucking Americans.
But that part of
I did it on a dare. There was no way they were going to say yes. And then they said yes.
Yeah, you're going to crush over there. That's going
to
be awesome.
I'm pumped, man. I'm my whole goal is to go out there and like.
Where are you staying?
I don't know the name of it, but it's like near downtown.
They put you up?
No. I got myself an Airbnb. Cool. They put me up. I just took the money that they were going to put me up for that week. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to stay here for a month. And so I'm just going to give me the money and I'm going to get my own Airbnb.
Oh, wow, you go. Dude. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have a blast.
I'm so excited.
And you like to like immerse yourself in cultures and cities.
I'm the guy, like when I travel outside the country, I turn off Twitter and Instagram, and I just be there.
Whoa,
I totally shut off. I don't get a haircut. I just be there. Like when I was in Melbourne, I was there with the other comics, of course. But
right. You don't get too crazy on social media, anyways. I feel
No.
Why is that?
Because it's fucking terrifying.
That's very anti of what you do.
I grew up in this generation, so I know how it's destroying all these people mentally.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm already fucked in the head. I don't need this other thing.
It's a distraction.
It's a distraction.
Do you ever think of yourself like, we have buddies that are, you know,
I think it makes you less funny.
I see these guys that are just doing it nonstop every day, and I'm like, I should be doing more. But then I watch, guess what? 90% of it, I'm like, this is not something I would watch if it was on a TV or something.
Yeah. Right.
Why am I watching it now?
Well, the pro of it is, like, I'm friends with, like, actual Twitter people, like, Jabuki is like damn near a millionaire. Brandon Wardell, a better example. Like, I'm very close friends with him. And the thing that they're doing is that they're almost like Mr. Rogers, where they're making themselves these people's lives every day. And that's why I tweet so much, because now you're just always hearing from Brandon every single day about every single thought. And now it's just someone to keep you company in this world that's like dark as shit. And if you don't, and you like tweet as minutely as like we do, it's like, oh, out of sight, out of mind.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, I would rather be out of sight. I would rather have a career of mystique than you guys just know what my dick looks like. Or fucking like what religion I grew up with. You guys don't need to fucking know.
Yeah.
Come see my show or shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's going to help a lot.
Yeah.
Go overseas. No, just being off of it. Like,
yeah.
That's because then you're going to actually soak up stories and experiences and then probably write about them.
Yeah. And that's why I'm telling you, that's why a lot of people aren't like getting funnier, is because they're staying within the Twitter bubble of funny, and they're talking about what's. They do whatever the 20 things that are trending, that's what everyone's jokes are about.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Instead of accumulating experiences.
Yeah. It's like, no, you need to be out here. You got to be different than the people in the crowd.
Right. Have an experience that is just yours.
Yeah.
No one else can joke
about it. Dude, do Molly in fucking London and run in a river. That's what I'm about to do.
Yeah. I was just going to say, is this advice or what?
Are you calling your shot?
I'm about to be turned. I'm about to be turned. My whole thing is like, just don't cheat and you can do everything else.
There you go.
Good move.
And now I'm frantically Googling what the hell turnt means. Turnt. Is that with a T?
It's with two T's. Two T's.
Two T's. Okay. Two T's. We opened this podcast with mentioning the Chappelle story.
Oh, shit. We really just kept going.
No, it's fine. We're going to close with that.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Everything else has been awesome. We didn't want to skip
all that. Yeah. So tell as much or as
do you guys talk little on your laptop as we're doing this?
Kind of.
Okay. I'm like see each other, like looking down, like, oh, okay. They're having conversations about this, and they're
it's
like,
just about like, hey, we're gonna go this much longer. Like, let's not forget this.
Well, like, I would see you pull back, and then you'll jump in with a question, like, oh, he told him to make sure you ask that question. Oh, okay.
I mean, look, we are not like fucking Minority Reporting. This podcast. We're not.
You guys aren't the Sklar Bros. Come on, figure it out. Yeah.
We're not just linked from birth. We can't just finish each other's.
We're not that good at it.
You gotta text it to each other.
No, it's so unprofessional. If I was like, hey Brad, don't forget to ask Jack that one thing. You're like, guys, I'm right here. Oh yeah.
Oh, I thought you guys just individually looking at porn.
That too.
Yeah. Oh wait. So that I want to know. Tell you what I know of this, which is seeing you and who was with you.
Valentino.
Yeah.
McCoy. He now plays music.
Quit stand up, huh?
Yeah. Well. Yeah, and it's not in a bad way.
Okay.
He's a dude who was just here. He moved here just to move to LA.
Gotcha.
I moved here to be in like some sort of comedy environment. And so like I'm sure he's going to now make an app that gets rid of bus drivers or something.
Dang.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that can just move.
Okay.
And he's so, everyone loves him and he can go wherever he wants.
Does our story start with that night?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like that night, I was with the people I usually run around doing comedy with, the Garricks, the Chloes, the Valentinos, and we're at the Laugh Factory. And I did my first, remember the New Faces they used to do back in the day?
Oh.
It was like the Monday night spot, and then like Jamie would pretend to watch, but he'd really be outside smoking.
Talking shit. Right.
I did my first version of that, and I had like an okay set, and I walked out, and the door dude there was that big black dude who's like super nice and cool. And I was like, yeah, man, what good? He's like, hey, come here. I'm like, oh, he's like, Chappelle's at the store. And this is back when Chappelle was doing those unicorn pop up moments where he'd do 5 hours or something crazy. And so we were like, what? And he was like, yeah, he's at the store right now. So we dead sprint from the Laugh Factory down Sunset all the way to the Comedy Store. And I was too young to get in. Chloe was too young to get in. Valentina was too young to get in. But Chloe had a fake ID. And so she was like, I'm going to go in the back and watch. And I was like, fuck off, Chloe.
Yeah. When Chappelle's on, it's like friendship's like, out the door.
Geez. And so this is like, this is my God. He's God is right here. So yeah, I was like, I'm not going to move. I'm going to stand right here on the patio and look through this window and just watch him move.
Yeah.
So I just, me and Valentino stood there for an hour. Just watching him like.
I remember that. Yeah. I was in the back, by the way.
Yeah, I remember watching.
And
he was making fun of us.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we were just
like, look at these guys, man. They can't even get in. You know, what, yeah, they can't even get in this comedy store.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, came from a pizza place. Now they're just staring at me.
You know, whatever it was. Yeah.
And he was probably. And I saw him like he would point like the on my side of that. He would point at us and then obviously say a joke to the crowd and it would kill. And we would tap each other like, yo, he's doing punchlines about us. He's doing
punchlines. He was. Yeah.
This is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He's talking about us on stage. This is fucking crazy. And we're losing it and just standing there. And then after an hour, he obviously like, hey, bring the cans in. Bring the cans in or whatever.
Yeah.
We walk up.
Which, by the way, he didn't have to do. He could have just like left and kept going and been like, yeah, man.
He brought us in. And Valentino was sweating, shaking. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck was wrong. But I was like, nah, this is I deserve to be talked to by Chappelle. I don't
know
why. I just had this fucking ego about me. And I was like, nah, this is.
That probably calmed you down, though, right?
No, I was just fully in the. Like, I was fully
probably
in the
like
zone.
The theme song from 8 Mile playing.
I didn't see anybody. And I realized like later that every famous person in the world was there that night. But like, I didn't see the crowd.
Yeah.
I didn't see any. I just saw bro on stage.
Yeah.
That's all I literally saw. It was just zoned in on him. And he told the story about how Wanda used to sneak him into the clubs when he was our age.
Yeah.
And he was like, I remember that Wanda gave me that try. And I remember that I used to, he told the story of how I used to be jealous of how Eddie took Chris under his wing that night. And I was like, I used to be jealous because Chris was also so young and Eddie threw him up on his shit. So I feel like I'm going to do the same for you guys. And then he like did a joke about how I wish you guys bomb, of course.
Yeah.
We both go up. We stand on opposite sides of him.
Yeah.
I'm like, just like.
You each do 3 minutes or something?
Two.
Yeah.
If that.
But you're terrified at this point.
I was
oh my God.
I was
this
almost
is insane.
Angry. I was almost angry. I was like, I was just like, just fucking give me a chance to do a moment.
Yeah.
I wish I could sit here and honestly say like, no, I was just really terrified and I just stumbled into it. Like, no, I was sitting there like, bro, give me the fucking mic and let me riff with Chappelle. I got this. I know I can get this one.
Mm-hmm.
And he flips a coin like Adam saw, catches it. And he didn't look at it. Didn't look at it at all. He just looks at me and he sees Valentino just profusely fucking sweating through his shirt. And he sees me just like pitch red eyes staring at him.
Yeah.
He's like, you go first.
Yeah.
Go up. And for of course, for the time, the jokes were trash. But there was a kid in front of Chappelle.
I remember you both got laughs.
Yeah, we both did.
And
we
were being called off the street. Now, before he did this, did he say like, hey, are you guys comics?
Yeah.
I just didn't know if you were like,
sorry,
this crowd member's gonna do some shit.
No, he asked us for comics and like he asked us how long we've been doing it.
Okay.
And I think I was like a year at the time.
You were in your backpack on stage, no?
I dropped it right before I went on stage.
That's right, yeah.
It was very corny. But yeah, I had my backpack. And
did somebody take pictures of that?
It was in the paper. It was in some fucking weird paper. They didn't name either of us, but
because then you guys, because then he interviewed you for a sec, right?
Yeah.
After the, what was that?
And he didn't really like give us the mic and say, no, you say something. It was more just like, I'm just going to riff on you guys. And like, you have agents and made fun of us for a second.
Yeah.
And then we got off stage. And then I started like sweating and like fucking started losing it a little bit.
Everyone, I just want to give you what it was like from the back. Known you somewhat at that point. So I was way pumped and like supportive, wanting this. But you could feel the room being like, everyone wants you guys to win. Everyone wants this moment. Chappelle joking about like I want you to bomb secretly
was
like a joke.
Fun, but like I always say like the OR will never be as warm for anybody as
hilarious.
It was that
night.
The OR is only a blood curling fucking cesspool of cold.
Because the way it happened too of you guys being in that window, isn't that crazy now to be a paid regular and be on that state? Like full circle.
So
he's. So after you get off stage, you're sweating.
I'm sweating and I'm walking back and Tino's like, that was crazy. And I can hear him mumbling to him. So that was crazy. That was crazy. And someone grabs my arm. I'm like, what the fuck? And I turn around and it's Donald Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Glover grabbed my arm and he was just like, I love your cadence, bro. That was amazing. And I keep walking. And this is like before, this is like because the internet didn't even come out. But I knew I was a big like.
Now, it wasn't Don Barris that you just thought it was Donald Glover because you were hallucinating from the excitement and adrenaline?
No, but like as I was walking back, I did notice it was like you and fucking D'Elia was there and Fahim was there and Brent was there. Fucking, I think Hannibal was there.
Yeah.
And I think Kat was there. I think like a lot. Yeah. Everybody
one of those crazy
ever
nights.
Was there because he was here.
Yeah.
And I walked out front and we started like just celebrating with everyone. Like Garrett got off work and he was like sad that he didn't get to be a part of the moment, but we started jumping around. And Sarah Mello pulls up in like her Corolla and Chappelle is in the passenger seat. And he had the, it was the corny ass, like, fucking
yeah,
roll your window.
Wait, this is still the Comedy Store? No.
It's still the Comedy Store. Yeah. Like, it's like the pulling out from the.
Okay, yeah.
And we were just celebrating and he's like, young man, come here. Come here, young man. I was like, hey, dude, thanks again for letting us have that moment. He's like, don't worry about it. This is going to be a long, long time before you're great, but you're going to be there. And just rumble, young man, rumble. And he starts to drag of his cigarette. And he just like blows it near my face. It didn't like in my face, but like for the moment.
It would have been great if you blew it in your face and the car disappeared. Yeah.
This is how I go places.
Yeah. Wait, so wait.
And then a year later, I get way better at fucking comedy. I get hit up to open for him in LA. And then Live Nation sees me. And then he does the Oddball tour. And then I end up taking Steve Ranazzisi's spot on the Oddball tour because of opening for Chappelle during the 9/11.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah, the Marin stuff.
Yeah, that stuff.
Wow,
dude. Which is like, thank God he lied.
Thank God. Have you seen Steve since then?
I don't really know him that well, but okay. I know one day we're probably going to become chummy. I'm like, dude. Yeah.
You helped me out.
You helped me out so
wait, so
much.
What were those? Those are the amphitheater shows. Yeah.
Like, I was on a private jet with Schumer and like just fucking 21. Private jet. Schumer, Sebastian, TJ,
Aziz, right?
Jelzinik, Aziz. Aziz would like sit next to me tell Kanye stories. It was fucking
now
because of the opening for Chappelle and that in the, wow. The
were you just that is fucking incredible.
Fast forward past that, he lets me open for his Reach the Netflix specials and I opened for he originally shot one in Chicago, which ended up being his one in Austin. Mm. Yeah, the second one. Yeah, the second one of the first run. And so I opened for all that material in Chicago, and then I opened for the Belly Room one.
Dang.
And he's never seen my set. Never once.
Was he always out of the room? Never watched it?
He just doesn't want to watch, but I get it. But like, I've had nights where I opened for him in Chicago, and it was great. It was fucking awesome. And I get off stage, and Cat Williams is standing there, and he starts giving me tips, and he's like, this, that, and the third, and I like your writing, and da-da-da, this. And I was like, fucking Cat Williams is giving me advice after being on stage with Chappelle. And I look down, and I look back up, and Cat is with a fur coat on, standing on top of the bar, throwing $10,000. Dead ass. I look down back up, and he's just throwing money. And then I look over like a centimeter, and Chappelle's next to him, shirtless. Just like holding his little beats,
his little beanbox,
boombox.
He brings that shit everywhere.
And they're just like playing the Roots, just dancing together. Wow. And I'm just like,
that's your life.
Thank God I fucking stood there.
Oh yeah, I fucking stood
on that patio. Yeah.
You were on that, I want to know something. When you were on that private jet, and when you've opened for Chappelle now, and only being 24, that's a lot of like ego boosting experiences. So I want to know, like, wholeheartedly, like, were there times, even on that jet, where you like, whereas you remained as confident as you were in the Comedy Store that night, or have you been humbled by friends telling you like Gerard,
friends,
they're like,
no, friends didn't do it. Comedy will always humble you.
Because all that, you for sure like go, all right, I'm on a jet now. Fuck yeah, right? I'm sure you step back.
But
and
like,
we're like,
outside of all that, after that Chappelle experience, I still had to do mics the next day.
Right.
And they all knew it. Yeah. They all knew what happened. So I remember being iced out in LA for maybe like 2 weeks with no laughs.
Wow.
Just because
at the open mics,
because everyone's
like, "Oh shit,
he's the kid that fucking got pulled up by Chappelle. Fuck him, he ain't funny."
Yeah,
and so I'll just be iced out for 2 weeks, and then the shit that happened in Oddball, that then mics would ice me out, or shows would ice me out. And
isn't that crazy? Because you would think it'd be the opposite. They would be like, "Fuck Jack is still doing the mics."
That's not how LA works.
Like Jack is still like, he can say no to open mics.
I go to mics now.
Yeah,
I still go to mics, and it's just like, I kind of low key wish I was from like a Denver or fucking Chicago or something where they would like kind of champion me, but LA is not like that.
No,
when you start here, it's like you're never gonna have a home base.
Right,
the only home base is the Comedy Store, and that's barely a home base.
Yeah, and
man,
it's this crazy thing where like
you started here.
I started in Orange County,
right?
But
that's still something.
Yeah, but my first set ever was at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's like I started in the Hollywood
in the
scene
of it.
Yeah, so I can still go back and do shows like Bray Improv, Irvine Improv, and I'm like their dude.
Yeah,
but like not.
I wish I had. I mean, the underground kind of, but like not really.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like I would just really, I get so jealous when like Sam's like, I'm going back to Boston to do a weekend and be God. It's like, fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
but you know, awesome. But like at some point too, like that's when you get to that point, you go do like the hometown show, like at the Moore, the Paramount, or wherever, Triple, wherever it is, you know, like you'll do one of those, and that'll be like.
That'd be tight, yeah. but like, and I'm talking about the sense of like coming up in a scene, and then your peers being he really fucking like, L.A. peers don't do that. They don't, they don't do that
because they're not from here.
Yeah, so they're also blood sucking wolves.
Yeah, so they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
dude, that's
an amazing story. That's I'm so incredible. Glad you told that, man, because that's like,
oh shit,
that's been
you scared the fuck out of me. Whoa, that was not cool.
All right.
Hug. Like, no. Hug. Give him a hug. Hear the shit out of him.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Wait, what did you see first? My eyes?
Well, in the fear that, because I saw your eyes start darting and I saw behind you on the reflection of her walking behind me. But the timing was scared me because you're like, because you're probably like trying to wrap up the podcast and end it. And I was like, and we're going to end with you getting shot. Oh,
no. We're going to end.
I've never with ended a ghost. Podcast with just like a person like fucking coming up behind me. So I was just like, dog, these motherfuckers is evil. They made me tell a beautiful story, like, and then this is how you die.
Oh my God, dude. Oh, we like kidnap you.
You guys
take you to a taping of Ellen where they scare you again.
Yeah. Oh fuck!
Oh my God!
That made me just start sweating. Right? That got me. Oh. And I love scary movies, but that was like it was like that good like. It was like the dude, like you felt the bass of like the key that makes a scary motion, like Hereditary with the.
Yeah.
Because she moved so swiftly, it was very fast.
You see a white girl come up behind you and you're just like, shit.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Get Out, Jack? Well, get into this trunk.
Hold on, I'm gonna start stirring the tea.
Oh my God, dude, I'm so sorry.
If Get Out 2 was just a dude doing a podcast and then like a white girl comes and goes, booga booga booga.
Oh, we are changing the name of the podcast from About Last Night to The Sunken Place.
Oh, that got me.
That was amazing.
Like my heart's going.
You're sweating.
I'm sweating a lot.
You weren't sweating.
I was
2 minutes ago.
And like she, because it was just like, just the fucking. She was just moving
the shadow,
so
and then
fast.
My eyes,
your
like,
eyes, just like, we and got I him. We got him. And I'm already just paranoid of everything, so I'm just like, oh, fucking fuck. And the chair isn't like, you can't like swing the chair.
Dude, I'm so
it's
sorry.
Wooden, so you gotta like get the chair up.
Yeah, it's set up for like, kidnapping. It looks like a chair your arms would be tied behind.
Yo, perfectly. Yeah, you gotta just put fucking bananas.
Dude, I feel horrible for when we're really gonna scare him later. Dude,
no, don't say shit like that, Brad. Also, you need to document your next like 24 hours.
Oh, man.
Like, every little like
I feel like I'm gonna go in my room
gonna,
and
jumpy.
Shut the door.
I was gonna say,
I'm terrified.
Your next 24 hours are jumpy Jack. well, thanks for doing this.
I can't even smoke tonight because I'm gonna be paranoid of some fucking white woman walking in my room.
You ruined my
I had a plan to
buzz.
Smoke. Yeah.
What if you never smoke pot again because
just
of this?
Gonna.
Now
Jack
probably,
got sober. A white woman scared him.
Jack probably feels like one of those guys that gets busted on daily NBC, and we're just the guy going, "You're free to go." He's like, "No, I'm not. I'm gonna go outside, and someone's gonna tackle me."
Oh God, yeah, we're gonna have to walk him out.
Now I'm terrified that dude swimming in the like. I want to walk there. There's like a dude doing backstrokes in the pool.
Yeah,
like he's living his great, the best life.
Oh,
now
no.
I'm just like, no, he's gonna get out.
Yeah,
and fucking just start chasing me down the street.
Oh
like,
yeah,
Tom Cruise run at me.
You're also gonna notice everything from here on out for the next few hours.
Is it
like,
thing?
Like if there's like there's an old Russian dude that always swims laps in my pool. Like, what if you walk out and he's swimming laps and then like just comes up for air like on his last lap, and that's when you guys lock eyes and he goes, "Goodbye, Jack."
He died.
I'm like, I'm never doing a podcast again. I'm never doing a podcast again.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.